lasagna you, I still love you. General moderators, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's my pleasure to come for you again in opposition to the proposition that Pat continues to affirm. And yet I do not believe he has sustained this proposition. Some may have been thinking at the beginning of my first negative speech, what is Bob Mahan going to say? Some may have been thinking, what can Bob Mahan say? But we have to take a close, hard look at all these passages, and we need to understand that in their context, a word can be translated one way or another way, but the context determines its use. And so we're trying to emphasize that in these negative speeches. But I do want to look at Pat's argument concerning the scapegoat. The sins of the people were ceremonially placed on the head of the scapegoat after the atoning sacrifice was offered. Their sins were already atoned for when the symbolism of the sins were laid on the scapegoat and he was sent into the wilderness. He was not killed. He was sent away. That was a type of God sending our sins away. And so when he forgives us, that is the antitype of the scapegoat. He sends our sins away into the wilderness, and I guess that must have been what he did with the sins he supposedly transferred to Jesus. I don't know how else. Pat hadn't said how Jesus got rid of those sins that he took upon himself, whether he was forgiven by God, whether they just disappeared, or what. But no, Jesus died for our sins, yes. He died so that we could have forgiveness of sins, yes. There's no debate on that. And thus, it was still necessary for God to forgive us of our sins in order for us to be saved. So therefore, Jesus was not our substitute when he died on the cross. If he was our substitute, why do we need a scapegoat? Was he sheep or goat? Was he lamb or kid? Now, the goats are on the left. The sheep are on the right. It's true that Caiaphas wanted Jesus to die instead of or in place of Israel where the Romans were concerned, but Jesus certainly did not die instead of or in place of Israel where God was concerned. The destruction of Jerusalem at the end of the sacrificial system came in A.D. 70. So whatever Caiaphas wanted has nothing to do with this debate, has nothing to do with what God's plan was and is as far as Jesus dying on the cross for us. Isaiah 53:6 is that to you, and all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord gave him up for our sins. And this, by the way, he says, well, that's a translation of a translation. Yes, it is a translation of a translation, but it agrees completely with what the English of at Romans 8:32 and Ephesians 5:2 say. He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. He, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us by the Septuagint translating it this way. And in fact, by the way, the Septuagint was translated by a group of scholars who were much closer to the time in which the original Hebrew scriptures were written. And Jesus and the apostles trusted that translation and they quoted from it quite readily. And so there's no reason to disparage the Septuagint at all. There is, is Nasa, as in verse 4, meaning to forgive or remove. Brown, driver, bridge, state the meaning, to take away, carry off, forgive. Made intercession, paga, as in verse 6, Kalandilich, delivered for their iniquities. And he interceded for them when he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yes, he interceded for them while he was on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And some reason that if Jesus was punished for our sins, this is Pat, there would be no way we could be lost for our own sins, else sin would be punished twice. This is essentially the same limited atonement argument the Calvinists make when they say if Jesus died for all, not just the elect, then that would mean all will be saved, universalism, because how could someone be lost for whom Jesus died? How could sin be punished twice? He tries to liken me unto a Calvinist. I do not believe that Jesus died as a substitute for all. So you can't accuse me of being inconsistent on that point. The Calvinists are inconsistent. The universalists are not inconsistent. But the Calvinists saw, at least, according to Matthew 7:13-14, that some would be lost. And so they think, well, how could some be lost and some be saved if Jesus bore the penalty for all? And so they came up with limited atonement. Now, Pat says Jesus died as a substitute for all, just like the Calvinists, or not the Calvinists, just like the Universalists do. And so, who's who here? Now, I don't agree with the Calvinists, I don't agree with the Universalists, I don't agree with Pat on that substitution idea. And so, don't liken me to the Calvinists just because on the basis that I'm not consistent. Now, Jesus died to provide a benefit, certainly. And the benefit is provided on the conditions met in by the conditions laid down in the New Testament. But the Calvinists argue with the Universalists here, which proves the choices are Universalism and Calvinism, if Jesus is our substitute. You see, I don't have a dog in that particular race. Pat does. Because he agrees with both of them that Jesus was a substitute for somebody. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All right, I believe that passage. I don't deny that passage. The Lord did lay on him the iniquity. But what does that mean? That's the question. Not whether it's in the Bible. And notice that it does not say as our substitute, which past proposition says. He said, well, some of my words are in the Bible. Well, that's right. If I was to debate a Baptist and he said salvation is by faith, well, that would be in the Bible, wouldn't it? It's when he adds only that he gets in trouble and that I would jump. And so if Pat says that's our substitute, that's the only reason we're having the debate. If he wasn't willing to put that in there, I wouldn't be denying his proposition. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the greatness. He shall divide the spoil with the strong because he poured out his soul into death. He was numbered with transgressors. He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That's, by the way, made intercession for is paga, the same word as translated laid on him in verse 6. Well, how can it be translated so differently? Because it is a different use, a different application. And so the same word used in two different senses, but that it doesn't mean that that God imputed any sins or transferred any of our sins to Jesus. If he did transfer our sins to Jesus, then we would be without them. How could we still have them if they were transferred to Jesus? Because if they were transferred to Jesus, they were transferred from us, and we no longer have them, we wouldn't need forgiveness. Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. He bore the guilt, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. If he bore the guilt of our sin, he was leavened, not unleavened. Could he be righteous, unrighteous, while being the perfect sacrifice? And again, he was the lamb, not the goat. Under the law, sins for which the punishment was death could not be expiated by sacrifice. Could God forgive those? Yes. God forgave David the sin of adultery, the sin of murder, the sin of deceit, the sin of making God a laughingstock. But there was no sacrifice on David's part commanded by the law. The law did not command a sacrifice where any sin was punishable by death. No, the law commanded death. And they were put to death by stoning at the hands of two or three witnesses. Sacrifices were offered only for sins of ignorance and ceremonial defilement. Therefore, sacrifices were not substitutes. The sacrifice did not die as a substitute for the sinner. Why is it that God cannot forgive sin without punishing a substitute? He never has. I don't reckon he ever has. I haven't seen it in any of his material why he thinks that is necessary. I know he believes that it is the case. But why is it necessary? Why cannot God forgive sin without punishing a substitute? Punishing a substitute would render a covenant wholly unnecessary. Punishing a substitute would render typology wholly unnecessary. Could not a substitute have been forthcoming at any time in history? Couldn't the Word have been born of Eve before she and Adam came together if he was to be a substitute? No, there was more to it than that. Sufficient time had to pass in order for men to appreciate that a man born of a virgin was a miracle. And that here was a man above every other man. Here was a man who was different from every other man. And the way in which he was different from every other man is that he was God as well as man. And he never sinned, nor did God ever transfer sin to him, because if he had, he would have experienced sin, which the Bible says he did not do. All right, Brian. If Jesus died for all of our sins, we, in the sense that Pat affirms, as a substitute, then we have a license to sin. If Jesus experienced spiritual death, he had to be born again. Pat says that was he died spiritually, separated from God. If Jesus was punished in our place, we won't be punished. He went to Hebrews chapter 12 that we talked about. I said, well, that's just talking about parental punishment. Well, no, parental punishment is used as an example there. But if Jesus was punished in our place, then we will not be punished. By the way, he mentioned Rick Duncan in his second affirmative. I met Rick several years ago when he preached a gospel meeting near where I was in Hamilton, Alabama. And Rick and I have a dear mutual close friend in Stanton C. And Rick Duggan was to be Pat's moderator. But Tommy Thrasher, whom I also love as a dear brother in Christ, he's the moderator for Pat tonight. He's substituting for Rick Duggan because Rick Duggan's not here. And so that's what a substitute is. A substitute takes the place of something that does not occur or takes the place of someone who does not do or need not do or need not have done to him whatever the substitute did or had done to him. If our sins and our punishment are transferred to Jesus, Pat, why do we still need forgiveness? Jesus was a substitute, by the way, for one man, Barabbas. But they all cried out together, "Away with this man and release us, Barabbas." Barabbas was scheduled to be crucified that day, along with those two thieves that were crucified on each side of Jesus. But when Pilate thought that he could get the people to, you know, Pilate, he didn't think Jesus was guilty of anything worthy of death. And he really, bless his heart, made a half-hearted attempt to get the people to give him permission to let him go. And so he brought Barabbas out there. Well, you know, it is Passover, and it's a custom that I release one unto you. And so, whom shall I release? Jesus, who never really did anything, or Barabbas, who is an insurrectionist and a murderer and a thief? And the people said, "Away with this man, Jesus! Release unto us Barabbas." So Jesus was crucified as a substitute, or in the stead of, or in the place of Barabbas. Barabbas was the one who should have been on that cross, not any one of us. God never instituted death on a cross as punishment for sin. Never. That won't show a passage on that either, because he can't. The punishment for sin is the eternal separation from God. Designated hitter. Why does a pitcher never bat in the American League? Because of the designated hitter rule. The designated hitter bats every time instead of, in place of the pitcher. And in the at the and then when that inning ends, or at the middle of that inning, when it's time for those who just batted to go back out into the field, well, the pitcher goes back out there on the mound, having not hit. Because he had a designated hitter, a substitute, one who batted in his place, in his stead. If Jesus died in our stead, in our place, we will not die, whatever death that was. If he suffered only a physical death in our stead, we will not die physically. But the Bible says, it's appointed all men wants to die, Hebrews 9:27. If Jesus died spiritually in our stead, we will not die spiritually. And yet we will die physically. We do die spiritually. We must die figuratively to sin when we're baptized. And we will suffer eternal death if we go through this life without meeting the conditions God has laid down in His Word, which reminds me of 1 Corinthians 14. Or 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which you also saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Did Jesus die for our sins? Yes, He did die for our sins. This debate is not over that. He did die for our sins. But He did not die as a substitute for us. There is a difference between those two things. He died on the cross to demonstrate the manifold love, goodness, and mercy of God, and to motivate us to love God back, to nail that law to the cross, and to magnify the enormity of sin. He didn't die as our substitute in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Well, what about, he says, you can't release from the penalty, or releasing from the penalty, paying the penalty, and forgiveness are not mutually exclusive. Well, the parable of the unjust steward, out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. Who paid the debt? Nobody did. Nobody came forward and said, here, I'll pay the debt. No, he forgave the debt. The master absorbed the loss, you see. He took the loss. He said, okay, you don't owe me anymore. That's what God does when He forgives us of our sins. But if Jesus died as our substitute, if He paid the penalty, if He suffered the penalty of death, if He paid the full price of death in that sense, then we don't have to die. Jesus gave His life a ransom for many, but what life did Jesus give us a ransom for many? His spiritual life, physical life, or both? Well, He gave His physical life as a ransom for many. Not his spiritual life. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. The pouring out of his blood was the pouring out of his physical life, not his spiritual life. And by the way, I heard someone preach a little over a year ago that when we eat the Lord's Supper, we need to focus more on the spiritual death of Christ than we do the physical death of Christ. And that teaching is pervading the congregations of the Lord. His blood sealed the covenant, whereby the many received the forgiveness, which forgiveness is figuratively represented by redemption. Whenever Pat sees redemption or redeem or ransom, he assumes that is some kind of a transaction. No, it's a figurative phrase, such as Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. I used to wonder, well, if we're not supposed to sell it, who are we supposed to buy it from? Well, it's saying sacrifice. Don't sacrifice anything and everything for the truth, but don't sacrifice the truth for anything. And that's what he's talking about here. He sacrificed his life on our behalf so that we could understand and appreciate the love, goodness, mercy of God and would be motivated to love God in return. That's what John says, by the way. 1 John 4:19. Hereby we love God because He first loved us. How do we know that? He sent His Son to die on the cross for us to demonstrate that love, goodness, and mercy. The sinless sacrifice or sinful substitute. Can it be both simultaneously? The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But then He would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, He has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Was He the sinless sacrifice? Yes, He was. It was necessary that He be sinless in order to be that sacrifice. What kind of sacrifice? It was God's sacrifice on our behalf. God sent His Son in the world to sacrifice Him on our behalf, as we noticed from Romans 8:32 and Ephesians a while ago, that He gave Him up for us, and that's what laid on Him the iniquity of us all means. Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings. Well, does God have eagle's wings? Did He send a big old giant eagle out there? No, it's talking about God's the swiftness with which He delivered them. Do not toil to acquire wealth, be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it is gone, for suddenly it sprouts wings flying like an eagle. Does it do that literally? No, He's just saying the same thing we say when we say that money burns a hole in our pocket. It doesn't literally burn a hole in our pocket, but some of us just can't seem to keep a hold of it. If Jesus paid the penalty, then He is in hell serving our term. If Jesus bore the guilt of our sins, we are no longer guilty of our sins. If Jesus literally took our sins upon Himself, He became a sinner. If the wrath of God was satisfied, it can't be stored up. And Paul talks in Romans chapter 2 that we are storing up the wrath of God as long as we delay our repentance. Punishment versus consequences. The punishment for sin is the second death, eternal separation from God. Consequences of sin are spiritual death and physical death. But that spiritual death, consequence of sin, will culminate in eternal death for any and all who do not meet the conditions of salvation, though Jesus died on their behalf. Yes, you don't have to take advantage of it. Was He the unblemished lamb or was He a blemished substitute while He was on the cross? Which part of Jesus' nature bore the sins of humanity? If human nature, He was not a perfect man. If the divine or deity, He was not a perfect God. If both, he was neither perfect man nor God. If not perfect man nor God, he was not the Messiah. That's what that doctrine culminates in. Thank you.